Now, friends, turn please to the Word of God, to the Gospel of John and chapter 5, as we read together. John chapter 5. And our text this morning is verse 39. John chapter 5 and verse 39. It's a wonderful text. The Lord Jesus Christ says this: "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." Friends, there are many people who have many questions. You might have many questions. Of course we do. But there are many people who have questions, but they don't do anything about it. It's just questions. They won't go, they won't find out the answers. They are content with being confused, being ignorant, having unanswered questions. They can't be bothered. Many people, they can't be bothered to search for the answers. And so they stay ignorant and they are aimless in their life. They're confused in their life. For example, when someone asks, well, why bad things happen? There are some people who constantly ask this question and they never come to the answer. They never seek for an answer. And when the answer is given, they say, no, it can't be like that. It can't be the way you describe it. So they reject the answer that the Scripture gives. Why do bad things happen in my life? Why do I have to always be the one who experience bad things? Or when people ask, well, I don't really know what I should do with my life. I don't know why I'm here. I don't know why I exist. Often that's where people stop. Often they think it's just a clever thing to ask these questions and not come to any kind of definite answers. They think it is open-minded to not have any answers. Have you met people like that? I was once one of those people myself. And there are, we have to be honest, there are certain things in life we just don't know the answers to. We just have to admit, we just don't know what we should say about certain things. And if you're a child of God, if you're a Christian, you have to also be honest about certain things. You don't know the answers and you say, I don't know. I don't know. But what I know is there is one who does know and who meets us in our confusion. Some people try to find the answers in wrong places. Maybe you have done that. I have certainly done that. They look at life in a very clinical way and think that we are just made of some sort of biological systems who are just evolving, getting better and better. And we are basically, they think, are mechanical machines. And we just need fixing. That's all we need. If our bodies are fixed somehow, then that's all we need. We need some sort of medication. And if we just find the right kind of medication or the right kind of vaccine, then the human problem will go away. Some think, well, all we have to do is to survive. And with these kinds of thoughts, there are no final conclusion. They say, well, there is no rhyme or reason for existing in my life. My friends, that's why we live in a society. When there's no purpose in life, you ask, why do I exist? What's the point of this life? And that's why you see high level of unhappiness generally, and then high level of suicide in many ways. There is no purpose. There are all kinds of things, all kinds of questions, but no answers to many. And then there are others who say, well, I'll find the answer by finding some form of religion. I become religious. They take up some sort of religion or some mixture of it. There are those who like a bit of anything and everything. And so for many, a vague kind of religion like Buddhism or some form of mixture of New Age ideas and mixture of Christianity will be enough, they think. Even though they don't really answer the deep issues of life. There are other people who pick up a Bible and begin to see what the Christian scriptures are about. And there are many who soon put them down. They think it's just filled with nice stories. It's for children. It's for only tell these stories to children. But it's no longer, they say, it's relevant for life. I can't really apply these things. This book was written so many years ago. How should the modern man learn anything from it? And then there are people who are reading the Bible and quickly get confused. And they don't know what it's about. And so then they easily give up. Now, let me say to you, friends, that the Bible is a supernatural book from God. It is the only inspired book that God has given, that heaven has provided for us. It's not like any other book. You see, the secretaries or the scribes were holy men of God. They were penmen. But God is the author of this book. God is the one who dictated, as it were, and they wrote. Holy men of God were moved by the Holy Spirit. Now, we need to treat the Bible with respect and read it sincerely and read it with prayer as well. Our hearts should be engaged with it. We should read it with faith, trusting what we read. We should read it with willingness to do what it tells us to do. Now, let me say that there are some major truths that you can only know only when you hold your Bible against a certain kind of light. Now, let me ask you this question. Maybe some boys and girls know about this. Have you heard of invisible ink? Have you ever had an invisible ink? Invisible ink is for secret writing. You see, normal ink, as you know, it leaves a mark, a clear mark, as you're writing it on a piece of paper. That's a normal pen. But this ink, the invisible ink, if I had it, you wouldn't be able to see it. The invisible ink, as soon as you begin to write on a piece of paper, it vanishes away. The message is gone. You can't see the message. How can you read the message written by the invisible ink? How can you read the secret message? Well, you must hold it to a certain kind of light. You should hold it against the fire, something like that. Then the message appears. Then the message is seen. Then you can read it easily. Now, to great many people, the pages of the Bible, especially the Old Testament, seem all blank. It's as if it's written with invisible ink. You don't really know what it's all about. There is not much beauty in it, people think. There's not much interest in it. But if you realize that when you hold it against a certain kind of light, the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, and look to Him as you read the Scriptures, and trust in Him as you read it, and pray to God for light and help, that God would show you the meaning, then you will understand the pages that seem blank to you. Then you will understand, when you read it by faith, looking to Jesus Christ, you look to Him as you read it, then you see the message. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke to these religious and educated Jews and said to them that they had missed the point of the Word of God. They had missed the point of the very Bibles they were having in their hands. They were proud of the fact that they knew the Old Testament scriptures and they were following the law of Moses. And you know, when the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to these Jews, they only had the Old Testament. The New Testament had not yet been written. And the Lord Jesus says to them that what the scriptures speak of, He opens it up to them. And that's why they said, no man spoke like Him. No man spake like this man, they said of the Lord Jesus. And what the Lord Jesus Christ says, to these people is that what you need to do is to hold the scriptures against a certain light, and then you'll see the message. You should be looking after that, not just the mere words of it, but to see the actual message of it for yourself. And that is what this text is about in verse 39 of John 5. Seek the scriptures. The Lord commends them for seeking the scriptures. For in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And there are three things I want to say about this to you this morning. First of all, that we must search the scriptures. It's a commendable thing. It's a good thing to search the scriptures. Secondly, we want to think about the object of our search. What are we searching for? And then we want to think about the fact that it's all about Jesus Christ. It's all about Him, ultimately. So let's think about this. Searching for Jesus Christ. The first thing is this. We must search the scriptures. You want to know about God? You want to know about the way of salvation? You want to know about Jesus Christ? Then you search the scriptures. That's what the Lord Jesus says in verse 39. Search the scriptures. So there's a search on the way. People like investigating things, to look for things unknown. And this is the thing, the difference between, one of the differences between man and animals is that we investigate and we seek to learn. Animals don't have schools. Animals don't have universities. But people do. We need to learn. There is, God has placed within our hearts a desire to know things, because ultimately the purpose is to know Him, to know His will. And the Lord Jesus says here that these Jews were searching. The context is that because Jesus had healed a man who was lame at a pool called the Pool of Bethesda, or Bethesda, on the Sabbath day, that the people had said that he had broken the law of Moses. But he hadn't. It was a misrepresentation of the law of Moses and the keeping of the Sabbath. And so these people hated him. These Jews hated him, and they had plotted to kill him. That's what we would have read if we read verse 16. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. And so these people that the Lord Jesus Christ speaks to and addresses are these very people who hate him. And in verse 19, the Lord speaks to them with these words. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. So on. And with all this persecution, with all this hate, how the Lord Jesus answers their objection. He said, My Father, in verse 17, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. My Father works until now, and I work. And that means I am working. Lord Jesus is busy at work. He's busy at work right now. He's upholding all things by the word of his power, the scripture says. The fact that your heart is beating is because Jesus Christ is operating. The Lord Jesus is giving strength even to the ungodly, even to the unconverted. He's merciful to the unrighteous. He lets people enjoy the sunshine. He brings rain to the ground of those farmers who blaspheme his name. God is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, the scripture says. Praise God for that. I am so thankful God is so patient with me. But these people that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke of, they were still unhappy. And what did they object to? The objection was the fact that Jesus Christ, in their mind, had made himself equal to God, and he had done that, certainly. says in verse 18, therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was in his Father, making himself equal with God. That's what they saw. That's what they heard. And to them, it was blasphemy. And the charge for blasphemy would be death. So to answer them, the Lord Jesus then claimed to be one with the Father, that God the Father had given him all judgment and that he should be honored. In verse 23, he says that everybody should honor the Son. I hope you're here this morning because you honor the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope that's your heart's desire. I hope you haven't just come to just meet people. I hope that's not your main purpose, to meet people. I hope you have come to meet the Son of God and honor him. So he says in verse 23 that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. If we don't do that, friends, this is just a club. It's no different to any kind of worldly club that you could go and join. This is not a book club. You might gather together and read the Bible and read Christian books, but this is not a book club. Here we are gathered to worship God. Here we are gathered to honor the Son of God. That's the purpose. And in doing that, God brings us great blessings. In doing that, God saves those who hear. God blesses and comforts those who are cast down. God builds up his people. But that's the result of it. Not because we are gathered together to just learn something. We are here ultimately to worship God and honor his Son. And what's the proof and the power that he gives? The proof that he has power and authority. He says, well, John the Baptist spoke of him. That's the proof, that there is the evidence that somebody else witnesses of the Lord Jesus in verse 33. He says, he sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. He says, you've tried to find out about me, and he told you who I was. He said to you that he was not worthy to stoop down and tie my shoelaces. And then the Lord Jesus says something amazing. He says, I receive not testimony from man, in verse 34. Meaning that the Lord Jesus's claims about himself, being the Son of God, being the judge of all and so on, and his power isn't based on mere human witness, which might be open to question. You see, if I was to bear witness of someone else, you might say, well, that's your opinion. You're just biased. You're saying these nice things because you're his friend. So then he goes on to say that there are other and greater witnesses. So, for example, there is the witness of his own works that God had given him to do. So these amazing signs and wonders, these miracles that the Lord Jesus Christ was doing was a proof that he was the Messiah from God, because that was a mark of the Messiah. The other prophets and so on, they spoke from God. But Jesus Christ said, but I say unto you, showing himself to be God manifest in the flesh. Then there is, he says, of the witness of God the Father of him in verse 37. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. And then he says, but you don't believe him. You don't believe him. Why does he say they don't believe him? Read it. Verse 37. It says, ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And verse 38, he says, and ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. He says, the problem with you is that his word is not abiding in you. That's the issue. That's why you don't believe him. By this he means that the words that you read in the Bible, they haven't entered into you. They haven't affected you. They haven't made a lasting impression in you. They haven't given you conviction about the Lord Jesus Christ. They haven't opened your eyes to see him. That's why you don't believe him. And this is how I will prove that you don't have God's word in you. You don't know God's will in your life. You don't have a spiritual life, the Lord Jesus is saying to him and to any one of us who don't trust in the Lord, because he says, because you refuse to believe in the person whom God has sent. That's what it is. Now, where do you think you can find God's word? Is it something that you can say, well, God speaks to me through this means, that means. I'm just thinking about things and then God speaks to me. Someone who says, I have this connection with God. You talk to some people on the street and they come from all kinds of backgrounds and all kinds of religious beliefs, not even Christian beliefs, and they say, I have this connection with God. God speaks to me. Where does the Lord Jesus Christ say God's word is to be found? In the scriptures. You want God's word? You want to know what God says? You go to the scriptures, Holy Bible. How do you know that the scriptures were really the Father's word to men? The Lord Jesus says that the Father bears witness that his word abides in those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. How it is that his word impacts, it abides, it remains, it impresses on those who are trusting in Jesus Christ. And then that bears witness to them. The supernatural thing that happens in our hearts as we are convicted by the word of God. It's not something we work up in ourselves. That's an amazing thing. That when God is speaking to you from the scriptures and you have those moments that it is impressing itself upon you, it's a supernatural event. It's a supernatural activity that God is doing that. Now, when we say scriptures, what do we mean? There are revelations. There are writings in which the Jews had were given by the prophets. Scriptures, it has to do with God's word written for our learning so that we know God's will. You want to know what God's will? Well, go to the scriptures. You want to know what you should do in your life? The principles, the words are found in the scriptures. John the Apostle, he writes at the end of his record of Christ's life in John chapter 20 and verse 31, of the purpose of his gospel, that there was a reason when he wrote this gospel. He says, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. That was the purpose. So you want to know who Jesus Christ is. He says, this is why I wrote you this book. And you must trust in him. By believing, you have eternal life given to you. Now, of course, the scriptures that the Lord Jesus Christ is referring to are the Old Testament scriptures. At the time the Lord Jesus Christ lived and preached, the Bible was the Hebrew writings, divided into three parts. The Torah, the first five books, the prophets, and the other writings. And the Lord says to them, search the scriptures. And that's what we should do. Good thing. Search the scriptures. But then the second thing is the object of our search. What should we be searching for? Object of it. Well, what does he say about the Jews and the Old Testament? It says this, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. He says that, yes, they did search the scriptures. And he says, go on searching the scriptures. Now, why were they doing that? He says to them why they did that. What was their motive behind it? Well, the Jews, they read the scriptures because they believed that that was their duty. God had commanded it, so they simply did it. This is something that they simply knew that they should do. And that's a good thing. God does command us to read. Blessed is he that readeth. We read in Revelation chapter 1. But why were they doing it? Was there anything beyond that? And there is something that we read here again. That they had the scriptures in their hands. They actually had the scriptures. What they had, it was the scriptures. Why do I stress this? It's because there are many people who say that in those days, the Jews didn't have the word of God. And yet Jesus is saying to them, you have the word of God. You are reading the word of God. And so there are these modernists and liberals who say, well, no, we know that these writings came later. Well, it had to be there for them to be commanded by the Lord Jesus that to read them. We know, friends, what books and what writings they had then, because they have been preserved throughout the ages, and so much of it, that if there were changes, we would have known about it. Those manuscripts, those fragments of writings that are now available and show that someone has tampered with them are not regarded by Christians to be useful for our spiritual food. But we know about those individuals and the people who tried to change things in the Word of God. But there are great amount, volumes of scriptures that they correspond with one another and they agree with one another from all over the Middle East and in other parts of the world. Now, I asked earlier why these Jews felt they must read the Bible and search it. Well, Jesus says this because they thought it will give them eternal life. They searched it, meaning they carefully, diligently, or minutely examined the scriptures. That's a great thing. Very commendable to carefully search and study and read the Bible. But they had a problem. And Jesus finds fault with their motives and beliefs. And here is something that we need to take care of as well. He says, in them ye think ye have eternal life. He's saying that these Jews, you, were content with the mere knowledge of the scriptures and you didn't think anything more was necessary. So the thinking is, as long as I know my Bible, as long as I have it near me and I read it daily and I go through my daily readings and I'm memorizing the scriptures, I'm teaching my children about that, as long as I know the facts, the accounts, the numbers, the names, in these things I will have God's approval and I will have God's forgiveness and eternal life. Here is their problem. The error of imagining that it is enough to know God's word. And there are many people who don't care about knowing the Bible, of course. But then there are those who think they would be religious, they need to be, and they must know. And Jesus says, there is something else that is necessary besides a knowledge of God's word. What is that? A personal knowledge of the author of it. A personal knowledge of God himself as revealed in his word. That's what we need. We need to know him. It means that these words must be brought home to our hearts by the Holy Spirit. That's what we need. They must take hold of you. They must change your thoughts. Change your attitude. Change your motive. Change your actions. They must guide you. They must challenge you. They must lead you. They must teach you. They must comfort you. But then how can you get these blessings of the Bible from the Holy Spirit? Do you remember what the Lord said? It's recorded in Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 13. The Lord said this, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? Do you pray that God would reveal himself to you? Do you pray sincerely from a humble heart? Lord, show me myself. Show me yourself, O Lord. I want to know you. So what are you searching for? Eternal life? Jesus Christ? Salvation? A better life? And finally, the Bible testifies of Jesus Christ. The Lord says, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Now, he says to them, the Lord Jesus says to them, that the Old Testament scriptures, they testify of me. They bear witness. They demonstrate who I am. They demonstrate what I do. They demonstrate to you why you need me. And so on. That's what the Lord is saying to them. The Lord Jesus Christ and all of his work are all shown. They have been foreshadowed, foretold, predicted, and prophesied in the Holy Scriptures. The prophecies, the types in the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures, they are telling us about Jesus Christ. And friends, the three aspects of the offices of the Lord Jesus Christ, him being our prophet, priest, and king, they're all there in the Scriptures, from the beginning to the end. The testimony which the Scriptures have given to of the Lord Jesus Christ is clear. Like not like some ambiguous answers of heathen books which were so written that you could make it out to mean anything. You know, some books that you might find that people say, well, this is a spiritual book. And you read it and you think, well, it could mean this, it could mean that, it could mean a thousand other things. They are so fluid, you can make it out to mean all sorts. The Bible isn't like that. The Bible is clear in all of the main things. The Bible is precise. And you can't give it a thousand different interpretations about the main things. Take, for instance, the prophecy about the time and the place of the birth of the Lord Jesus. People understood it the same way before it happened as well as after it happened. They understand it to be the same. The Jews, even though they understand it, they say, yes, it is true, but they reject it. But it's not that. It's not Jesus who is the Messiah. You have to wait for another one. So even those Jews who reject the Lord Jesus admit to this very thing as well. It was also written so fully about the details of who the Messiah would be, how he would come, where and what would be his name. His name would be Emmanuel. What he would do, how he would die, why he would die on the cross, all of these things. Though he is a Jew, our Lord Jesus Christ was to die. Not a Jewish, but a Roman death, the death of the cross. And that's what the scripture tells us of. And in his crucifixion, he was not to suffer all that was usually associated with that punishment. Because we read that not a bone of him was to be broken. On the other hand, they would do certain things to him, never associated with that punishment in other instances. He was to be scourged. They wouldn't normally do that. He would be lashed before his crucifixion, and he would be pierced to the heart with a spear after he died. The very insults were accurately and literally foretold, as well as the cruelty in offering him vinegar while he was in torment. That he would die to pay the price of our sin debt to God. This was prophesied. And that's the major reason why we can trust the Bible, friends. We can trust it that it is inspired and it is preserved. We read of the fact that the Messiah, his garments would be divided, and then there would be one garment that they would not divide, but they would gamble over it. They would cast lots over it. How could anyone know the detail? How could any human know these beforehand? No imposter could have predicted this. And who would never have imagined that one so cruelly treated in his death should yet have his grave with the rich? The very price which was to be paid for his blood, and then afterwards used that money to pay for a potter's field, and the suicide of the man who would betray the Lord Jesus. These and so many others with so much detail prove beyond the shadow of doubt that Jesus Christ was that person testified of, and that the testimony given of him was divine. He is the Messiah. The word of God is true. Now, what a far better Bible we have in our hands that we have the New Testament too. They only had these types and shadows and prophecies, but we have the revelation of the fulfillment of those things. Now, the Old Testament makes more sense to us. So we have these two witnesses to one Christ, first in figure, then in historical reality. So remember what the Bible really is. God in his love desires to make himself known to his creatures. So he gave his Son the express image of his person. How could we know the Son? Only by the Holy Spirit, who testifies of him in the Scriptures and in our hearts. And the Scriptures make known to us the Savior. Has that been revealed to you? Have you come to know this too? The Bible is read by so many people, boys and girls, and men and women. But even more importantly, it should be read with a willing heart to see Jesus Christ and believe God's word, not just knowing it, but believing every word of it, trusting in the person that this book is about, Jesus Christ. It's about knowing him. So at this moment in time, you say, this is all boring stuff. The reason it is boring is because you haven't seen the message. It hasn't sunk into your heart. So do you trust in it? I once remember in a meeting where Mr. Paisley preaching, he was saying how a Roman Catholic priest was converted in Dublin. He had gone and preached in the open air, and he was preaching in front of a priest's church, this Roman Catholic church, and he thought, because people were out there to stone him, throw stuff at him, and so he thought he would go and stand against the Roman Catholic church, and so these folk would not throw stones, because they might miss him and hit the window or something. So nobody threatened him, but this priest came out and was rebuking him. And because he was preaching, and he was preaching about the fact that we do not go to God through Mary, but we go to God through that one mediator, Jesus Christ. This man was very angry with him. Then Mr. Paisley said, "You don't believe Mary. You don't believe her." And that priest laughed. "We have the Holy Virgin Mary. We don't need to believe in what you are saying because we have her. And she answers our prayer. And she takes our prayers to Jesus." And Mr. Paisley said, "No, you don't believe her. You don't have any respect for her. You don't obey her. But I obey her." And the priest then was silent and wondering, what is he talking about? And Mr. Paisley pointed to the text in John where Mary said to the disciples at the marriage in Cana, and Mary said to the disciples, "Go and whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." Mary said, "Whatsoever he saith unto you." And Mr. Paisley said, "I have done that. I listened and obeyed Mary, and I've gone to Jesus Christ." And this man was so convicted. He had never thought about this. And the man was converted. And I remember meeting him. He was an older man. And I met him there in Belfast some years back. Friends, there are some people who do the same as these Jews. They trust in their church. They trust in some hierarchy and what a minister might say. And they think that's enough for them. That's enough. If this man says it, then it must be right. But they don't seek Christ. And there are thousands of people in this town of Cheltenham, and there are even many more thousands in Gloucestershire. They haven't sought Christ for themselves. The Jews pretended to know the truth, and our Lord said to them that that this was the very pretense, was their undoing, that they thought they knew it, and yet they did not know the Messiah. Praise God. Any one of us who's come to know the Savior, God's work. And our prayer should be, Lord, show yourself to us. Lord Jesus, open the Bible to us. Lord Jesus, show us thyself to us. What a lesson then here. Search the scriptures because they testify of me. Are you searching for Jesus Christ? Well, come and trust in the word of God and what it says. Is God's word abiding in you? Is it impacting your life? Is it showing fruit in your life? Have you got the joy of salvation? Does Jesus abide in you? Praise God that he comes to us in his word and will stay and abide all through our day.